John 13, beginning in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing his hour had come, that he would depart our world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the finish, or to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself, poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So Simon said to him, Lord, wash not only my feet, also my hands, my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks that what that prayer says is true concerning your character. For you are not merely sovereign. For men, when they are sovereign, can easily turn to evil because we are corrupt and fallen. But not so with you. Your holiness and your righteousness keeps your sovereignty so that we benefit from it. Your intent is to save and not to judge. You take no delight in the death of the wicked, but you delight in the sleep of your children. Give us grace this morning, Father, as we see your only begotten Son humble himself before his disciples, that we might learn the same in Christ's name. Amen. So, starting this morning, Jesus has removed himself from a public ministry, and now we have literally one evening where he has dinner with his disciples, and he instructs them in what is going to happen, and he promises them a spirit that will carry them into the next phase of ministry. In order to see this, what we've had is two things going on at the same time to get to chapter 13. We've had in chapter 9 a blind man being healed, and in chapter 11, Lazarus coming back from the grave. That results in a bunch of new people believing, and apparently enough new people believing that when he enters Jerusalem in chapter 12, the triumphal entry, you have this mob that comes together to welcome him as Son of David. Save us, O King of Israel. That is counterbalanced by the opposition, the Pharisees and the leadership of Israel, who decide there's too many of those people believing. Why is it we can't stop this man? And so that counterbalance is we intend to kill him. We need someone to betray him. And of course, that's where we get to Judas. So that's how we get here. When chapter 12 is done with all these new believers and now all this opposition, Jesus withdraws for one night with his disciples. And so, 13:1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come. All right. So we start right there. His hour had come, right? What does that refer to?